testing 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 8 9 10 WB4AM.
Yes, that's right. It's the station with the golden tone, WB4AIO.
I have the platinum tone, and I heard your first call, but it took me a couple minutes to warm up the amplifier.
Ah. Well, amplifiers work best when they are warm. Sounds like an N2 Italy Riddly Jiddly on there. This is WB4AIO. Good to hear your voice.
Oh, it's really good to hear yours. I was wondering when it would be. I never expected it to be under these conditions at this hour. Oh, man. Oh, tell me all about it.
Well, everything is fine. Everything went well. I got home a little while ago, and I sort of have a little bit of energy left, and I was kind of hoping the net would still be on, but it seems that it signed off an hour ago. So I just thought I'd throw my call sign out there and see what I could hear. And there you are. By George. Good night in the morning. It's late. You sound like I woke you up. Had a wonderful day. I'll tell you more about that on the telephone, probably tomorrow. But I guess what I'm doing right now is just sort of winding down. Probably will go to bed very soon. But just for fun, decided to turn on the radio. And amplifiers do work best when they are warm. N2IRJ, WB4AIO.
Yeah, I'm just tickling it. I did a test this afternoon with NISA, and what I did is I wanted to find out where the threshold point was where it would knock the modem offline, and I discovered that there's no power level that would do that. It turns out that I reoriented the modem about six different times, and it just kept, you know, dumping on its own, even if I didn't transmit last night in the wee morning hours, you know, like 3 in the morning, or 6 in the morning. I think they were having really big internet problems, and so finally I, you know, turned it off, waited a while, let it reset itself, and turned it on, and I did this test with her, and what happens is I'm up drive 14 right now, and I put it up to 22, and it just tripped the Ameritron. The Ameritron's visor went too high, and my watt meter was only showing about 200 watts. Most of the nets, I had the power set at 8 last night, and I, you know, utilized such a low setting because I was afraid that I was knocking the modem offline, but I wasn't. It was never my fault all along. Over.
Ah, well, did you, two questions. Did you determine that the modem itself is defective, or did you determine what the cause of the modem going on offline was? And number two, did you successfully stream the Liberty Net and the Survival Net without the interruptions? Go ahead.
Yes, I successfully did both. In fact, I'm still streaming. We're being streamed, but it's a hallowed event. I'll turn it off in a minute. You know, I don't know. This sounds hokey, but I propped up the modem with a piece of plastic from the end of a fiber optic cable, and I let it run cooler. The vents are open in the bottom, and they're open in the top, and, you know, normally it sets real close to the bottom, and it gets hot. So it's running cool, And like I said, I don't want to believe that that is truly the cause. It's just a thermal failing. But maybe it is. Maybe I really did fix it just by the skin of my teeth, by making it run cooler. I had a different modem before this, and it was acting weird. And I enlarged the holes in a certain way, and I it made more, and it started working okay. So, I mean, you know, I've heard people say about them heating up and cutting out and this and that, but I can't believe that they would really put into production ones that are that marginal. You know, they obviously have to anticipate operating conditions in hot places, and you know. But so that my conclusion is that I did all that work and plugged the connectors in and out and did all this the stuff, and all along it was just an overloaded internet. NISA tried. I believe I could count in my call graph something like maybe 11 times we called back each other and we couldn't make it. The internet was so screwed up and Skype was so screwed up, you know. And the only thing that's amazing is this. Even though I couldn't get NISA on the air, I was able to stream the net the whole night without interruption. And the only thing is I lost the first section of the chat room, but other than that, it stayed on for hours and hours, no problem. Over. N2RJ.
Yeah, okay. WB4AIO. So basically, you're saying there may have been two problems. One was the modem was being kicked off, possibly because of a thermal problem. And and you enlarged the holes and propped it up, and now there's better air circulation, so the modem's not dropping off. But even when the modem wasn't dropping off, you found that your connection was congested or somehow way too slow, and you couldn't make Skype work properly. That's very strange. I wonder if, since your Wi-Fi signal is unencrypted, I wonder if some other person has logged on to your Wi-Fi and is slowing it down by downloading huge videos or something like that. Over.
I don't think so. I believe that it was just general internet congestion that was causing the problem with Skype. I think Skype was the number one problem. But, look, excuse me, I'm yawning. Yeah, you did wake me up. But as you know, I monitor. And I was too tired to get up and shut it off right away when they quit talking. Well, actually, they came back at the end and talked a little more. I don't know if you heard that or not. I have that recording. And anyway, now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I know. I changed bandwidth. I pulled a Kevin, and I only had it at 3.4, and you were at 4. And now that I opened it up to 4, oh, does this sound better?
Yeah, actually, it's amazing how much better 4 sounds than 3.4. It's only 600 hertz more, but it must be at certain voice frequencies that really make a difference in the way the naturalness of the voice is transmitted. I really like it better at 4. Of course, I like 7.5 the best. But this part of the band is kind of congested, so 4 is usually decent. Okay, well, that's very strange. I hope it doesn't give you any more trouble, because my connection is still flaky. I mean, sometimes it's good enough to stream, but other times it just starts acting really weird. And it comes on and goes off and comes on and goes off. Probably a lot worse than yours. Even worse than yours has been lately. So I I wouldn't want to depend on my connection. Well, I'm delighted I was able to do what I had to do, and yet you still were able to stream the LibertyNet and be a part of it. I'm sorry that the internet connection made it so you couldn't have the Briar Patch. That's a loss for the net. I hope that gets straightened out very soon. I probably won't be as available as I usually am this week because I've got to work on that radio program that I told you about. That's got to be done this week, and probably I will be sequestering myself away from all interruptions many days this coming week. Maybe I should let you go back to sleep because I need to go to sleep too, at least pretty soon. I don't want to stop winding down. I don't want to get so excited I get a second wind because I've got a lot to do tomorrow. But hey, it's great to hear you on there. It sounds like your voice is extremely relaxed. I guess that's because you're still a bit sleepy. You have a very, very relaxed, calm-sounding voice. And to IRJ in the Salt Flats of Central New Jersey, this is WB4AIO. That's Aeschylus Icarus Oedipus. Interim AE, PhD, LLD, DDS, MSNBC. Over.
I dragged my feet to determine the noise floor, and it's about an S4. It's noisy, and your signal goes between a 7 and an 8. I want a beverage. We had a semi-bad condition in the beginning of the net for local propagation, and I used your map showing the F2 layer, and sure enough, I said we shouldn't even be having this QSO. The cutoff is at 2 megacycles, and here we are up near 4, and Vic persisted. He said, oh, yeah, I can hear people, and stuff. And it's true. Yeah, we could. They were far away, but not local. For example, Richie, I normally get him okay locally, but I could barely hear him. And then I was informed that Dieter tried to break in, and I never even heard him. No, it was AB3RA. AB3RA tried breaking in, I'm told. And so I announced over the air, I said, oh, sorry, I never even heard you. And yet no one really would acknowledge the validity of that F2 chart. And of all people to pop up, it's been so long, Des Preston came on and participated in the net. And he was real interested in the site. And he sent me his lightning site. But I think our Blitzer tongue is a much better site. And I told him, and I said, this is real easy because you can look at it and see just little squares and get a real rough idea real fast of where the activity is. But ours is more detailed. And if you, want to study it in greater detail, relaxing the eye, you can. Yeah, I guess I won't keep you long, but I almost don't want to just say bye this exact second. You want to save it for the phone, I guess, about what all you did and so forth. That's okay. When you said I'll talk to you tomorrow, you don't really mean tomorrow. You mean later today, right?
Yeah, probably later today. I do want to get those recordings linked on the site, so I need you to upload the, if you haven't already, I haven't checked, the LibertyNet recording and the SurvivalNet recording to both sites. And if you could have that done, I'll call you up while I put them on the sites, and I'll give you a blow-by-blow description of life in paradise. And to IRJ, WB4AIO.
Roger. Well, I'm going to look here and tell you, I think, if if I can, the call sign of the guy who wants to be on the patch. I have to call him. I wanted to call him today, but my back pain really was devastating me. I have been in bed 99% of the time, and I don't like that at all. And that heating pad and all that stuff, and it's really weird. I've never experienced anything quite like this. And I did not upload either recording, so I'll try to shoot for before our time tomorrow and do that and get them to you. I will say this, that tonight's recording is, in the beginning, half at least, bad. Oh, maybe I should say the center section is bad. And it's because of the band conditions. And once again, I looked on the map and determined that it was not possible to have the kind of local QSO involving NVIS. And there were going to be great skip zones, and the band would be long. And sure enough, guess what? AB3RA started the net on Flea Power. His amplifier, he said, is broken. We'll just have to grin and bear it, he said. And then the other people who came in were guys like from down in the bottom of Foreland. And then the frequency got taken over kind of by guys in Sevenland. And man, the Sevenlanders were booming in here like crazy, covering up the locals, even though the locals were trying to hold their pride and claim it was the other way around. When you hear the recording, you'll find it. Who was the winner? The Sevenlanders. They were running amplifiers and everything. You know, and our guys on our side, in fact, even Des Preston last night turned his amplifier off early. And I'm going to have to talk to him about that. It's like, use it for the whole QSO. I don't know. People have these ideas that the league puts in their head, I guess, about using the minimum necessary power. Well, I say it's necessary, damn it. N2IRJ.
Yeah, well, a lot of times it is. On a net, you may have 15 or 20 stations that are trying to communicate with you, and you have to gauge your power by the one who hears you the worst. And so in net operations, I would say an amplifier is more often necessary than it is in a one-on-one QSO. In a one-on-one QSO, if the other guy says, hey, I'm hearing you fine at 100 watts, you can save the electricity. But a net is a little bit different, particularly in a staticky, crowded band like 75 meters. So, okay. Very, very interesting. Yeah, your signal is pretty good right now. It's not as strong as it normally is, so I suspect the propagation is slightly disturbed. But your Henrietta is probably making up for that, and you have a very good signal-to-noise ratio. I didn't really look at the meters for the signal-to-noise ratio. I didn't notice what the background noise is. I do notice, though, that you're only about 15 over 9, and normally with your tube amplifier, you would be probably 25 over 9. So you're down about 10 dB from ideal conditions. But I assume that some of those losses have something to do with the strange condition the ionosphere has been in for 75-meter propagation. Of course, you're right about the critical frequency map. Sometimes the critical frequency map indicates that NVIS stations, people who are almost vertical incidence for you, are only going to be good 2 megahertz or below. However, the number of people who can actually put out a decent signal on 160 is so small that basically you might as well disband the net as try to get people to go on 160. You might as well forget it. A lot of people have trouble just putting out a decent signal on 75 and having a decent 75-meter antenna, to say nothing of getting on 160. Although, in theory, it would be nice if we were all so equipped. I need to get this thing on 160. I also need to finish putting this antenna up. The bottom part of the antenna
near where it intersects with the feed line is not in an ideal position. I need to reorient it. Well, I've got work to do. I haven't tried it this on 160 since I repaired the antenna, but I think it'll work okay. What else did you say there? Talking about critical frequencies. Anyway, I do like that map. It is very helpful. I think my mind is drifting here because I'm so tired. I've been up since fairly early. But anyway, it's great to hear you on, Marty. I'm delighted my random call brought up a not so random station, and you're coming through with a good quality. I'm listening in the 4 kilohertz bandwidth, and Henrietta is bringing your signal with reserve power despite the less than ideal band conditions. N2IRJ WB4AIO near Beaverdale, Pennsylvania. High in the Allegheny Mountains. Standing by.
Well, this is N2IRJ, low at about 190 feet above sea level, 20 miles from the shore in New Jersey of the Atlantic Ocean. And Henrietta is giving me tremendous readings. It's telling me my average power is 200. So, like I said, I could turn it up higher, but it'll kick the Ameritron off. So, I don't know. You spoke of operating on 160. Yeah, that's a future project here, too. We have to figure out how to spatially orient the proper capacitance on the plate side so that I can get my 160 operation back like I used to have. I don't think I'm going to make the queue nearly as tight either. When you start going down the band like that, it starts getting pretty bad, you know, and you know you're not being able to go too far before you have to retune. And anyway, speaking of KBAYJ, Des came on Skype about 5 minutes ago while you were talking. So for all I know, he's listening to us right now. And the way the propagation's running, he probably could hear us. He actually had a Vic-like signal momentarily when we had a pipeline between us because of the long skip being in and the NVIS being out. That was last night. And tonight's net, I almost broke in a couple times to make corrections, but later on some of the corrections were made, so I left well enough alone. I never participated in tonight's net, except for recording it and streaming it. And one of the things involved potassium iodide, you know, KI, which is what we use down at Oak Ridge to block the thyroid from nuclear radiation. The rest of your body might be burned up, but at least your thyroid cells aren't. And then years later, on the Alex Jones type shows, they would sell cheap and ineffective potassium iodate. And potassium iodate is not the same as iodide. Iodide was more or less a prescription drug, and they wouldn't give it to you. Except on Oak Ridge, we had it because we worked with nuclear radiation. And I never took any because, in theory, I wasn't exposed to enough radiation. But I was disappointed that when they sent back the report from my radiation badge, they didn't give me a number. It was just like a pass or fail type thing. You know, you're over the limit or under the limit. I was under the limit. So, damn it, I guess I did get some exposure, but I don't know how much. So, with that cue, so you're telling me I went up to a 20 over. I guess I do have reserve power. N2IRJ.
Well, your signal faded a lot on that one. I think the long skip is, or the skip zone is starting to affect us. I have a couple of questions, though. First question is, were both nets, the Saturday Night Liberty net and the Survival net, were they both on this frequency? Over.
Yes, they're both on this frequency, but because of the seven-lander invasion And because I guess I really do need to educate some people and do a lecture about using an amplifier. It's a necessity when you're a net controller. And that's one reason I didn't, for now at least, assume taking the Liberty Net. You know, as Vic offered me years ago, the second half of the Liberty Net, that is, on Saturdays. And other times too, of course. But I that was one... nerve wrangler. I guess I was very, ambivalent. Well, I shouldn't say, in other words, I really appreciated the honor of being asked to take the real Liberty on Saturday, half of it on a regular basis. But my health wouldn't permit it, and my equipment wouldn't permit it, and I just basically went by the philosophy that Vic had told me 30 years ago almost in his front yard. He said, the reason for the success of the Liberty Net is because of the consistency and the frequency. People know that any Saturday night, if they go to 3950, we'll be there. And he made it a personal endeavor, beyond an endeavor, to be there almost always. It's possible that the only time he wasn't there is when he took a trip to Europe and arrangements were made in advance. But nowadays, with all these nets going on, and new people who don't understand about the power and the F2 layer and all the other stuff, they need to be educated in a polite way. And then I'm thinking of being the one to do it, and I'll become the bad guy maybe. But I have to explain, you need to be on frequency, which of course that situation is still going on about not being on frequency exactly. The net controller, that is. Secondarily, the power, and thirdly, consistency. You know, Vic is magnanimous in saying in recent times, yes, family comes first, bless his heart, but for himself, he actually put the Liberty Net first, and I had to honor that. So that's why I felt that I had to live up to those expectations. If I took the second half of the Liberty Net, let alone having a Liberty Net midweek or, what we have now, all the other nets. For your information, the agreement that was reached tonight, you probably weren't home yet to hear it. Well, maybe you were, and we can compare notes. It's my understanding that Wednesday, the Liberty Net will be... sort of a roundtable informal gathering, and it seems like Vic will show up, and I would like to show up. I don't think AB3RA will. AB3RA is definitely off of the fellowship net for 2 weeks in a row. He said he'd return, I think, January 7th or something like that. Over.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. No, I didn't hear any of the nets yet because I wasn't home. I did have a Audacity recording running on 3995 continuously, though, so I guess I captured them. Were you going to say that they changed frequency when the seven landers came in, or were you just going to say they stayed on 3995? What happened?
Oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to tell you. They went to upper sideband. And it did allow them to communicate much better. But right then and there, Vic came to the rescue with his power. And he started a CUSA with N1RAJ. I couldn't even hear him. Band conditions plus the seven landers. But Vic just kept pounding and pounding, and the net went on... upper sideband, and I recorded that part of it, but I could see that Vic was blasting away on the lower sideband, and after a little while, his persistence paid off. He drove the Sevenlanders off, and then the net came back down to lower sideband. What do you think of that one?
Oh, that's interesting. Wow. I guess that means that on my recording, which I have not listened to yet, that I have the recording of Vic trying to hold the frequency with Ralph. I do not have the net, but I don't know how many minutes of the net I actually missed. Maybe that's not important. Maybe my recording is okay and worthwhile, even with a bit of the net missing. So anyway, I do have it. Oh, I'm with Clara. Hi, Clara. I'm on the radio.
Hi.
That's okay. You want to talk? Okay. Good morning. Anyway, my recording may have some value just for the fact that I got that part of the communication going on. So, okay, that's great. Oh, another thing I wanted to mention, I guess it's not really a question, but I probably you have noticed it also, that that intermittent digital communication sounds like white noise going on and off. That is on the frequency tonight. That seems to come in whenever we have this long propagation in the skip zones. Maybe it's there every night now. I guess I'm not listening consistently enough to know, but apparently it is something that's been encroaching on this frequency and also at other places on the band quite a bit. Remember that one week people thought it was jamming, but I don't think it is jamming. It's some kind of digital communication, and there seem to be many channels of it here on 75. It's some kind of invader, whether it's a regime in Washington, D.C., government kind of invader, or some kind of a foreign signal. I really have no idea. By the way, I'm looking at the critical frequency map right now, and it looks like where we are, if we were much closer, we wouldn't be communicating because our states, both of our states, are entirely in the yellow zone, and the critical frequency is 2 megahertz or thereabouts. And there's a huge swath of North America reaching all the way to, looks like to, probably to maybe to Illinois, that where the critical frequency is 1 megahertz, all the way from southern Alaska all the way to Illinois. There's a big, roughly elliptical-shaped area where the critical frequency is actually at 1 megahertz. Unbelievable. What unbelievable low sunspot-type propagation we've been having. And supposedly, we're near the high point of a sunspot cycle. This is really the weakest high sunspot cycle I've ever seen in my life. N2IRJ, WB4AIO.
Yes, N2IRJ here in Jacks, New Jersey. That's another thing I wanted to get on tonight and talk to them about, but it, like I said, would have sounded like a spanking lecture, and I didn't want to come off that way, but the lack of understanding of amateur radio and practice. I was thinking back to the early 60s or late 50s or something, where we had a really tremendous sunspot cycle, and you could get on 10 meters with 100 watts and work the world. And that's what the net members are trying to do now, but it's on the wrong end of the spectrum. It's not 30 mega, you know, 29 megacycles. It's 4 megacycles about, and it's without power. I mean, it's two strikes. It's like there's no comprehension of how the expectation level was totally out of touch with reality, because the people never lived through it. They never learned a lot of wisdom, you know? So maybe I'll explain that sometime over the net again, because Vic was very, very kind to come in and clear the frequency for us. In theory, maybe if I would have gotten on, I could have cleared the frequency too, especially if we went back and forth, Vic and I. But he and RAJ did it, apparently, and they managed to clear it and get rid of the Sevenlanders, who did indeed come on after, but our signals were so weak, you know, that they probably felt they weren't going to be that big of a deal for us, but I didn't hear many call signs either. They were kind of sloppy operators. And like I said, I refreshed the map, and I see what you're talking about. We're at 2 megacycles between you and I, the maximum, well, the envious kind of limit before you have skip zones. Well, we do have skip zones now, and let's see. When the recording ended, it was 3 megacycles. So we've lost 1 full megacycle, and we're communicating up around 4 megacycles here. And I said to Vic on Saturday, I guess it was. I said, technically, we shouldn't be able to be communicating because it shows the cutoff frequency of being at a 2, around 2, and we're up near 4 on the map, and he was really weak at first, and I guess I was too, but he said I sounded great and everything, and everybody else just sort of went with the flow, and then the band healed itself, and I watched the map progress. I noticed they don't update it. Well, at least on Saturday, they didn't perfectly update it every hour or anything like that. It was like there was like a several-hour gap, but then after that, it seemed like they were updating it hourly, and I was able to see the changing patterns. So I hope you enjoyed my story. I enjoyed telling it. N2IRJ.
Yeah, well, even though both of our states are in the 2 megacycle region on the critical frequency map right now, that doesn't really have an effect on us because we're 250 miles apart, and so we're not using NVIS. We have a lower angle. I don't know what it is, 40, 50 degrees, something like that. And so, therefore, it'd be nice if they made a 40 to 50 degree map, but they don't. So this is like if somebody was in Atlantic City, not that far away from you, some another 75 meter station, which would require an almost vertical incidence wave to skip back to your location in New Jersey, then this map would be a very good guide as to whether you could hear each other or not, because this is the highest frequency at which a vertical incidence wave that goes straight up to the ionosphere just about and straight back down again can propagate. But for us, we're able to do 4 megahertz, but I think we're on the hairy edge of 4 megahertz, because you've been taking some 20 dB fades. I never miss a word, but you've been taking some 20 dB fades during your transmission, so I think we're right on the hairy edge of being in a skip zone. WB4 Aeschylus Icarus Oedipus.
N2IRJ returning. Yes, that's what it was like during the net, and Vic's determination was to just stick with it, and maybe the condition would pass, and that's pretty much what happened, but it didn't pass by much. We only made it up to about 3 on the map, and it was enough for us to complete the net. I think everybody got heard, but it was definitely not ideal conditions, and so often people report that they are ideal conditions, and it's not true, and it gives a total misunderstanding of how to run the net, because people aren't copying each other very well between certain places. For example, tonight, the southern guy came in super strong, four-lander. The guy, I think he's in Georgia or something like that, or one state over. And yet, like I said, last night I couldn't hear Richie for a while. I heard him for a moment, and then the band went out like it's going out now, and he was gone. And later on he came back, and it was okay. I mean, it wasn't okay. It was normal, like normal, not even close, but at least we could hear each other. Dieter talked in the chat room and provided some good information, which I cannot recall at the moment what he said, but I meant to, I think I got on the air and even said, thank you, Dieter, that was good for you to say, whatever he said. But anyway, he was gone. I don't know if he even tried to transmit. He might have had more sense and realized, or if he tried, I wouldn't damn him, but, you know, I never heard him at all. I saw him in the chat room, but I never heard him. So he might have tried and failed, or he might have had the experience like I did over the years, and he realized what he was up against, so he didn't even get on the air. He usually asks Vic, how's my signal? That's the first question. He doesn't have the advantage of this map, but it's always a good question to ask anyway. And yes, your signal, same thing. I saw you up as high as an 8 over, and it dropped down momentarily to only 2 units above the noise floor. I guess that would have been a 6. And then it started working its way up again, and you turned it over to me. So I might have been up and down in a few cycles. I don't know if it's getting better or worse. Over.
Well, you're up and then you're down, you're up and then you're down. I think we really are on the hairy edge of being in a skip zone. But it's not getting so bad that I can't hear you. I think your reserve power is helping. Even when that white noise generator is on there and you're at a low point, I still am understanding every word perfectly. However, I'm getting very tired. I probably should sign out. Get some sleep. I've got a big week ahead of me, lots of work to do, and it's going to be more like a heavy work week than a holiday week for me, but that's okay. I can handle it. So, I hope your back feels better soon. Marty, I'm glad the heating pad helps, but of course, I guess it is somewhat restricting your activities. But, I hope it heals up real fast and you feel better with vim and vigor and can start that walking program, which probably will heal all kinds of other things, both mental and physical. Exercise is... I never, in my earlier parts of my life, I would never was a gigantic believer in exercise, but in recent years I found out that it really makes a difference in your well-being and in your attitude, so I'm 100% for it. So anyway, I hope you feel better, and sorry I woke you up, but I'm glad we got to talk a little bit. And I guess I'll talk to you tomorrow when you are exporting and uploading the 2 net recordings, because I very, very much want to get them up as promptly as I can. N2IRJ, WB4AIO, high, high, high in the Allegheny Mountains of western Pennsylvania, looking down on the dark, dark valleys. I guess... I'll listen for your final. Over.
Well, I meant to say hello to Clara when she was within earshot, but she's probably not able. Your microphone was sensitive enough that I could hear her voice ever so slightly, so that was neat. I'll say that I was going to stop the streaming, but it decided to stop itself. Something out there in the internet world interrupted it, and it restarted. So we're back being streamed by a minute and 32 seconds. But it dropped out, but it was a short dropout, apparently, and it wasn't long enough for Auto DJ to take over. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to reestablish contact. Over.
Yeah, sometimes when it drops out, if it drops out just briefly, the software at that end can sort of bridge the gap, and it doesn't totally disconnect you. I think if you drop for a minute, though, maybe it's even less than a minute, maybe it's 30 seconds, I forget. But if it drops that long, then it just decides, well, you've purposely stopped, and so it turns the auto DJ on. I see you are still streaming, and I see that we actually have 4 listeners to the stream, so... hello to the listening world out there in internet radio land, and hello to all those who are in skip zones and can't talk to their friends but are far enough away from New Jersey and Pennsylvania to hear this QSO in actual Kennelly Heaviside Layer reflective ionosphere land, WB4AIO.
Well, I would like to do the same, and I'm going to take a look right now and get a report on listeners. Yeah, four. Farmington area, near Farmington, Michigan, and Jeffersonville, Indiana, Collegeville, PA. Is that it? I can't see it so far away in my eyes. Virginia Beach, Virginia. Hello, all. Man, they've been on long. I bet you they're asleep. 3 hours. Oh, I'm sorry. One's been only on 3 minutes. Oh, you know what? They all reset. They all reset to 3 minutes when it dropped out before. And by the way, my pins are back. Remember how I told you that for several weeks I would only see myself on the map? And as of the Liberty Net last night, everything was cool. In fact, we had something like 47 listeners at one point, and probably if you went into the statistics, there was a momentary, bulge beyond that. People were really relying on the stream. I think that this F2 layer problem was affecting the listening audience more than the LibertyNet participants realized. But fortunately, the N2RJ receiving station was tuned to the max and pulled it in. And I think, talked a little bit to KB9KBC, N2RJ.
Yeah, okay. Very good, Marty. And I guess I will sign out. My eyelids are getting heavy. I wish I could continue and joke around with you some more, but I think I really need to sleep. I'm glad all this this lash up is working. I came home and I didn't need to retune, so I guess there's no alteration in the antenna structure. It's consistent because the tuning of the tuner was exactly the same as it was when I left. And the scope is working. Everything looks nice on the scope. And the amplifier did not require retuning. At least I don't think it did. It seems to be putting out what it's supposed to put out. I didn't touch the tuning. And if you had heard RF in my audio, you would have said so. So I came back home, just pressed the push-to-talk button after warming up the triode filaments, and bingo, everything's working just consistently, which is fun. So I will say 73, good luck in the contest, QSL via the Bureau. And don't take any wooden nickels. N2IRJ, WB4AIO, saying 73.
Without it going on too far and long, I was just wondering, I always wanted to have a test like this under these conditions, and that is compression. Is that only controllable by the radio, or can I control it by the AFX? My inclination was to let the radio alone. You know, we're running it so linear and so clean, and at such a low drive level, and just change the AFX. Would it be the density control, or what control would I do to make a comeback to you to have more presence over?
If you want to run more compression, you just need to turn the gain up on the Behringer on your mic channel. Just turn that up, and that will do exactly that. You'll run more compression.
Okay, I did something that I shouldn't, but I did. Do I sound any different? I changed a setting on the AFX, the density. It was set at 2, and now it's at 3.
That's such a small change, I probably wouldn't hear it. But the density is not compression. The density is the amount of clipping that it allows to happen. And because you're running another clipper after it, I have that density set not very aggressively. 2, if you start getting above 2, it starts to sound a little excessive in my views, because the CRL is adding its own limiting and clipping. I found that 2 was the most I could run without sounding excessively harsh. I couldn't really tell, though, because the conditions are not perfect. It was just one click is a pretty subtle difference, but my opinion is that the 2 is a good setting for that. Now, if you weren't running the CRL,
and you were only running the Apex, then I would say you could run the density all the way up to 5, but I found that it really sounded harsh with the density at 5 and the CRL in the circuit. So, but to run more compression, what you would do is you would just hit the Behringer harder, you know, run another 5 dB of gain on the mic channel on the Behringer, and that would do exactly what you wanted to do. That would run 5 dB more compression, because compression is totally dependent on the level at which you hit the Apex, WB4AIO.
Well, according to the Duro, I'm hitting it exactly right, so I really couldn't do any more without entering red zone briefly. I guess I could do a little more. There's a factor of safety you built in, and I did return it to number 2. Everything is the way it was. The other possibility would be the radio itself. I think you have a 12 dB of compression setting in there, right?
I thought I had the Compander set at 5. That's not really decibels, but it's just a relative setting. I guess if you run the Compander up to a higher setting, it would run more peak limiting in the radio. But my experience with that is it's hard to tell the difference, because I think the Compander peak limiter has a moderately slow recovery, so it's really hard to tell the difference. But what I found is if you run it too high, it starts to sound a little smeared. The quality is degraded, but I don't really know if I would notice it too much. Also, it doesn't really seem to change the loudness because of the slow recovery time. The way with the Power SDR software, I found if you really want to increase your loudness, of course it's at the expense of cleanness, is to run the DX setting instead of the Compander. And the DX is a very aggressive peak limiter that actually is a clipper. It's not really it's not a straight peak limiter. It's a limiter clipper. And it's fairly aggressive, and it does bring the average level up at the expense of some quality. But that's built into the WAR setting. If you switch your transmit profile to one of the WAR settings, you'll find that not only does the bandwidth change, but it automatically switches to the DX mode. And DX, what they call the DX mode, I really don't like that name, but what they call the DX mode is really a clipper. Over.
Oh, I'm glad you explained that. I momentarily changed settings. The Compander was at a 3, and I put it to a 4. And then when you told me about DX, I said, what the hell, I'll click it up one from 4 to 5. And I'm still, at my 4 kilocycle bandwidth. When I first went back to you, I was in the WAR mode. Conditions were so bad, I had to use the WAR mode. But nobody on the band even commented, even though my fidelity was out the window. So anyway, I'll give you this long enough talk time, and if you want, I'll even switch it back in so-called real time. Let me do it. Let me turn DX down back to 4. It's at 4, and now I'll turn Compander back down to 3. It's now at 3. And that's where we decided it sounded best. You decided. And by the way, am I able to make any decisions on my own based upon the Audacity recording? Will it show up there? Over.
No, the Audacity recording is completely unaffected by any of the settings in Power SDR, because the Audacity recording is going through that relay. And whenever you're in the transmit mode, it records straight off the CRL. So nothing, you could even turn Power SDR off and the recording would not be affected.
Okay. I have now set it back to where each is one notch higher. CPDR is up to 4 and DX is up to 5. And I'm looking at Henrietta, and I can see 300 watts now instead of 200. So I don't expect you to hear it under these conditions, but theoretically maybe I'm hitting you harder, more with a better peak to average ratio.
I might notice a slight change. Might be a slight increase in the average level, but it's subtle. It's subtle. But
I'm probably getting too tired to give you an extremely detailed report. I've noticed an odd phenomenon, though, on your signal. I don't know if it's when you start transmitting, you're leaning back, and then after you've started transmitting, a few seconds later, you lean into the microphone. That's what I suspect is going on, but this phenomenon I'm hearing is that when you first start talking, there's very little bass in your audio, and then after about 5 or 10 seconds, the bass comes back, and I don't know if there's something technical that's causing that, which I can't even imagine what that could be, or if maybe it's the proximity effect of the microphone, that you're further away from it when you start talking, and then once you've been talking for a while, you lean into it, and then the bass comes back. Is that what's going on?
That's what's going on. I'll be darned. You have an amazing ear, especially under these conditions. I basically start off gentle, and then as I see that the Duro is not being fully modulated, I go closer like this, and now I'm hitting it a lot harder. I'm hitting the reds. Can you tell the difference when I hit the reds?
Yeah, it loses a little bit of its clarity. It's almost like a small amount of, it's not a lot, but a small amount of intermod is creeping in.
Okay. Well, my slider control is already up to maximum on this mic. If I turned up the top pot anymore, the noise level goes through the roof. It really gets bad. What about the mic level here? I just secretly increased it to 26, and I doubt if you heard any difference, but just for hell of it, let me make it, say, 30. It's normally 25. Okay, I'm talking at the same distance. I have it up to 31, actually, and now I'll put it back down to 25, 24 it is, come on, 25, 24, 20, 26, damn, I can't get 25, but there's 24, and I'm at the same distance from the microphone, and now I'm up to 30, so can you tell any difference in that when I change it on the Flex and to IRJ?
Yeah, you really don't want to change that one. The reason is when you go to AM, the modulation percentage will be very dependent on that, and you'll be either over or under modulated if you mess with it. Secondly, another reason you don't want to change it is that control can cause a lot of distortion when it's too high. When you went from just up to 30, which really isn't that high, but the way things are set now, I could definitely hear some distortion creeping in, even worse than when you were close talking the mic. So that one's sort of like a sacred setting. It determines the gain of the software gain of the very first stage of audio before it's processed by the internal circuitry or the internal algorithms, I should say, in PowerSDR. And it's very easy to get it to sound sort of smeary and distorted. So I would leave that one alone. Over.
Okay, I'll take your advice on that. It's back to 25, and we might even explore lower settings in the future. When the band is formed well and you can hear me very well, I could change these settings and then learn from the results. Under adverse conditions like this, it might be necessary to tweak it up one notch, but then again, maybe not. Incidentally, I'm one notch higher than normal on DX and one notch higher on Compander, 5 and 4. I put it back there. So I kind of like running it light myself, you know, and on the conservative side. But the way band conditions have been, people don't seem to mind even if I run the warm mode. Over.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are listening on very narrow receivers, you know, under 3 kilohertz bandwidth, and a lot of people are listening through audio power amps driving their speaker that are not of the highest quality. And many, many people are also listening on small built-in speakers or small, tinny, so-called communications-grade speakers, and they might not be able to really tell the difference between the warm mode and a higher fidelity mode. And in fact, people with systems like that might actually prefer the war mode because you put more power where their audio system can reproduce. So, you know, you have a lot of energy around 100 hertz when you're in one of the more high fidelity modes. But those little 3-inch speakers that some people use, they simply, or the communications, specifically so-called communication speakers that purposely roll off below a certain frequency, they can't hear those frequencies, so you might as well not transmit them as far as they're concerned. And so you switch to war mode. They might like it better. Over.
Okay. Well, I'll have a CUSA with you at another time when conditions are better, and we'll find out if these settings are excessive. I clicked DX up one, as you know, and CPD are up one. So it's 5 and 4, 5 on DX, 4 on Compander, and the microphone is at 25. And I'm thinking that on a clear day, I might want to knock the microphone down to, you know, 24, 20, or 21 even, or something. And then we'll be able to learn the so-called dynamic range of the band on my dynamic range. Over.
Yeah. Well, probably it's better really just not to mess with the power SDR settings, because they've been carefully matched to the hardware that's driving it. And I would just consider that mic as a sacred setting and not ever vary it. If you want to vary things, you can mess with the DX and the Compander settings. That's safer to mess with than the mic setting. The mic setting is really sensitive. It affects modulation percentage. It affects the action of the subsequent processors like the DX clipper or the Compander peak limiter. And it severely affects the modulation percentage on AM, as well as just the overall cleanliness of the audio. So I would sort of like regard the mic setting as something never to be changed. But Compander and DX, I guess you could mess with those if you want to. I find that moderate settings on those give you all the loudness, and raising them probably just increases your noise floor without changing the loudness that much. Maybe under really bad conditions, when you're in the war mode, you switch to DX and you want that extra bit of oomph, then you could boost the DX. But as for the rest of it, probably not going to gain you that much. Anyway, my eyes are about to close, and I guess I've been trying to sign for a while. It's a lot of fun talking. Maybe we'll repeat it soon. Looks like my signal-to-noise ratio is pretty good. The heating system in the house is not running. Let me see what it is. Hold on. Wow, I've got almost a 30 dB, minus 30 dB background noise level. That's not bad. Not bad for somebody who I don't even try that hard to get rid of noise. And I've got the Clipperton LSD running. See you later, Marty. Great to talk to you. Have a good sleep, and I'll talk to you sometime after I wake up about getting those recordings up. N2IRJ in the salt flats of central New Jersey, just a hop, skip, and a jump away from the Atlantic Ocean, and right across the street from the RCA Antenna Proving Grounds. This is WB4AIO in the fabulous Allegheny Mountains of western Pennsylvania, saying 73 and bye-bye.
Okay, like I said, I didn't intend to make it an all-night test with all different combinations. But you know what I never did? I never did this. I never clicked DX. DX is on now. I didn't realize it was an either-or situation. I'm on DX, and now I'm going to switch back to Compander. I'm on Compander now. Over.
Oh, yeah, I can tell the difference for sure.
And the microphone I knocked down to 23, so maybe it's cleaner.
Anyway, it's working well. It doesn't sound bad in any of those configurations, but the DX definitely. I think if I were, you know, hearing you just at the threshold of the noise, maybe the DX would be a desirable thing to engage. In fact, probably, if you were just at the threshold of the noise, you should engage the full war mode, which automatically switches it to DX. But for almost all conditions, the Compander is a much smoother sounding peak limiter and doesn't run clipping. So you don't, and you already have a little bit of clipping from your hardware processors. So I think it's adequate. Over.
Okay, good. as time goes on and we have other QSOs in the future, we can play with them more and I can get really secure with it. But as for now, I'm keeping it right in the ranges that you had, if not the exact range. I knocked the microphone down by 2. It's down to 23. Again, I'm trying to really preserve the linearity of what you created. Although, you know what? My power is now down to less than 200 watts. So maybe I should put the mic back up where it was. Last thing to say, and I know you've signed several times. The Audacity recording from last night was unusual in that my normal high peaks are maybe about 0.6. Well, they're going up to 0.9, and I swear I didn't change any settings. I don't know if it had to do with the static last night, which was elevated, or it really seemed like something changed. It's like a setting got changed. And I didn't deliberately change anything. But fortunately, there was no overshooting. You know, I guess CRL did its job. But it was going up to like 0.9s at certain times.
Are the places in the recording where it's reading 0.9, are they when you're talking or are they when you're listening?
Listening.
Well, static can do that. Some static crashes have a very high rise time, and they have a higher peak level than a strong and consistent voice signal. The static contains some waveforms with very high rise times, and what happens is because the rise time is so high, it's faster than the attack time of the AGC, the receiver AGC, and hence it lets some peaks go through before the AGC has a chance to catch up. But that's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. It sounds best that way, so I wouldn't try to. It's not a problem that needs to be solved. Don't try to solve it, because solving it would degrade the audio for the stations you're trying to listen to. I've done a lot of experiments, and the AGC time constants that sound the best, that work the best, also do allow somewhat higher peak levels with static crashes. But it's good. It's good to tolerate that because it gives you the best possible audio quality.
Roger, if you recall, at one time I did mess with that setting and you picked right up on it. You set it 2 and I set it at 1. It was right at the limit, and it resulted in a faster attack time, but I think it maybe made it a little hashy on your end or something like that.
Well, what happens is there are artifacts associated with a very fast AGC attack time, and they degrade the audio quality, particularly of strong signals.
Roger, do you think I should put the mic back up to 25? I know we need to do this on a day when we have good propagation between us. Then you could tell the nuances better. But looking at the power gauge, I'm barely touching 200 watts on average power.
I think the mic should always be at 25. It should be locked down. You should put a piece of black electrical tape on your screen so you can't even see that adjustment after it's been set to 25.
Okay, it's back to 25, and you probably have it defaulted there in the memory anyway. And boy, that brought me up almost to 400 watts. It's just such a little change.
Yeah, that one's real critical, and it has to be matched to the hardware and matched to the subsequent parts of the software that are doing other magical things to the AF and RF signals. Okay, Marty, I will say, as K3ZRF used to say, rock. Bye-bye.
I listened to 7295 today, and WA1HLR was on, and there's another guy who was on who has some of Irv's equipment. He got an $800 radio or something for $60 at the estate sale. And he was using Irv's radio. And when we have a chance, yeah, we'll catch up on all this business. learned a lot, heard a lot. And I have returned it to the 25, and I don't intend to change that as long as it's linear enough. I hope I'm not hitting it too hard or anything. I know on a night like tonight I'm not, and I like the higher power meter reading. But, yeah, I always noticed that was a real sensitive to that microphone adjustment. In fact, if you really want to troubleshoot RFI, okay, roll in your grave ahead of time and check this out. You know the mic boost box? I think it's an advanced setting. If I turn the mic boost on, it'll go without any audio, without the audio turned off, with the audio turned off even, don't ask me how, it will go into this RF pulsation mode. You can go around with ferrite beads and try things and find out if you fix a problem that way. Okay, 7-3, I'll go. N2IRJ, clearing out. Bye-bye.
Okay, Marty, see you later. Good to talk to you. And looks like we have the whole 75-meter band to ourselves, so it's kind of a shame to sign off. I always used to say it, signing off is not in the spirit of amateur radio. But I think I need to sleep, so maybe I'll let Clara run the gear. She can talk to you. We'll see. Probably she won't. 73, good hooking up on 39.95. I guess this is this isn't 39.50, but this is 39.950. See you later, N2IRJ WB4AIO, the station with the golden tone, saying 73 and rock and roll.
That's a clever new way of reselling our original frequency. It's 39.95. Oh, I'll have to work on that. You know, a quick hello and goodbye if Clara's right there is fine by me.
No, she's in the other room now. But I'll just hand her the push to talkie. No, not really. I'm sure she has other things to do. 73, and don't take any wooden nickels.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, this is N2IRJ. Damn it, thinking of one last thing to say. I'll shoot you an email if I already haven't about the PEP meter guy. I sent him the resistance readings, and I will say this, that when we said on the phone, when you were saying on the phone that half scale represents 1/4 power, that is not true. I was right. It represents 1,700 watts, roughly, instead of 1,250. So now I can ruin your night's sleep by laying that one on you. But I think the whole scale is sort of logarithmic from the very get-go, and that's what throws it off. But I have to think about it longer. Okay, so long. I won't say clear or anything like that, as you said, about the amateur radio spirit. We're always here, happy and alive. And my companion setting is looking beautiful. When I don't talk, it goes down to a negative 30. And when I do talk, it goes up to a negative 1. So life is good in New Jersey. Well, relatively speaking, in the ham radio world it is. N2IRJ, clear. Good night. Bye-bye.
Night-night.